All right, we're beginning here with the new Masechta, Masechet Tanit. As we always do, we'll give a little introduction to Masechet Tanit. The Masechta deals with, generally, the Taniyot, the fast days that are associated with the asking for rain in Eretz Yisrael. And for that reason, the Masechta here begins with Hazkarat and Sheilat Gishamim, because they are a pivotal factor in terms of the fast days that we're going to speak about. Masechta at the end, the tail end, has the fast days that we know of today, which are the fast days associated with the Churban Habayit, and we'll discuss the connection between those a little later. Now, as far as the Masechta is concerned, here today's daf is going to mention the concept of Avdo B'chol Levavchem, that you have to worship Hashem with all your hearts. Izuhi Avoda Shi Belev, what is worshiping Hashem in your heart? Havi Omer Zut Fila, that is davening. And from that, the Gemara learns out that davening is a part of Avodat Hashem. The question about davening being part of the Avodat Hashem turns out to be a machloket, major machloket harishonim between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam, in a number of places, in Mishneh Torah, as well as in Hilchot Taniyot, and then in Sefer HaMitzvot, mentions over and over again this idea that davening is min haTorah. She says, mitzvah asay lehitpalel b'chol yom. It's a mitzvah asay, a mitzvah min haTorah to daven each day. Shenamar, vavatem et Hashem Elokeichem. That you have to worship Hashem. Mipi Hashmua lamdu, shavodah zu hi tefillah. That this avodah means davening. Shenamar, and he quotes the pasuk that we just quoted, lovdo b'chol levavchem, amru chachamim. Ezu hi avodah shebelev, zu tefillah. Exactly the Gemara that we're going to see today. And then in Hilchot Taniyot, he says, mitzvah asay min haTorah, lizok ulahariya b'chatzotzrot, akol Torah shetavo latzibur. It's a mitzvah to say to cry out to Hashem, to blow the trumpets, when something untoward happens to the tzibur. Shneamar, he quotes the pasuk from Balotcha, which we'll quote in a second with regards to the chatzotzrot. And then in the Minyan mitzvot, Sefer HaMitzvot, mitzvat asei hei, it's a fifth mitzvah. Mitzvah chamishit hi, shitzivanu lavod nitale, it's to worship Hashem. V'kvar nichpal tzivui zeh pamayim. And this is already mentioned numerous times, and he quotes the pasuk from Parshat Mishpatim, vadtem et Hashem elokeichem, as well as the pasuk from Re'ei, v'oto ta'avodu, from the pasuk of Et Chanan, v'oto ta'avod, and then in Ekev, which is the one from Vayayim Shamoos, Lavdo B'chol Levavchem. So repetitively, the Torah says this. This is a more general statement. It's not just about a particular mitzvah. It is that you have to worship Hashem with your heart. That's a general statement. As we explained in our introduction to Sefer Mitzvot, despite its generalization, it still has a particular manifestation in davening. V'lashon sifri, l'avdo zu tefillah. V'amru gam kein l'avdo ze talmud u'mishnato shel Rabbi Eliezer beno shel Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Amru minayin l'ikar tefillah b'toch ha-mitzvot mehacha, t'ashem elokecha tira v'oto ta'avod. So he's showing you all different midrashim that are pointing out that the word l'avod, to worship Hashem here, means tefillah. Avdeo b'torato, avdeo b'migdasho. What does it mean to worship him in his migdash? Klomar lelechet sham lehit palobo. Negdok, to go there and daven. Moshe ver Shlomo alav shalom. The way that Shlomo explains it, and we'll read all these psukim in a second to give a sense of what he means. The Rambam clearly believes that davening is a mitzvah deoraita, to call out to Hashem. That's in two forms. One is on a daily basis. It's a mitzvah to daven to Hashem. That instruction has no time, no form to it, except for the more generic form of Shevach, Vakasha, and Hodah. And it also has no number of times. Daven once a day, any time, any format that you want, as long as you conform to that general format of Shevach, Vakasha, and Hodah. And that fulfills your requirement, midoraito. The Rambam agrees that davening three times a day, the format that we have of Shemone Esrei, and the Nusach that we have, all of those are midrabanan from the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. But underlying is a mitzvah doraita to daven, as well as there is a mitzvah doraita that when anything bad happens, that you have to call out to Hashem. So that's another manifestation of tefillah. Tefillah, when things are difficult, that you turn to Hashem and you beseech Hashem for help in that situation. Now, these are based on psukim. Psukim we saw by tefillah about avodah shebelev. The other psukim are found in Parshat Balotcha. We read that last week, which is selecha shtei chatzotzot kesef. Why? What are you going to do with these chatzotzot kesef? Because ki tavo milchama ba'artzechem. When we have a war that comes to our land, alatzar otzorer etchem, or someone who is instigating, causing trouble, beirotem bechatzotzot, you're going to trumpet the trumpets, v'niskartem lifnei Hashem lokeichem, and you'll be remembered before Hashem, v'nushatem mi'oyvechem, and you'll see salvation from your enemies, you'll be saved from your enemies. So here you have an instruction in the pasuk that when things go bad, when things are difficult, you call out to Hashem. You blow the trumpets and you call out to Hashem, which is what the Rambam discusses in Hilchot Ta'aniyot. In Melachim Aleph, when Shlomo HaMelech consecrates the Mikdash, over there he talks about davening towards that point, that being the focal point of prayer all over the world. And then he gives other times when people are going to engage in the tefillah. And he says, "Bihina geif amecha Yisrael lifnei oiv," when the people are plagued by the enemy, meaning that they're falling before the enemy. "Asher yechatu lach v'shavu elecha," and then they return to you. "Vodo et shemecha," and they recognize your name. "Bit palalu bit chananu elecha b'bayit hazeh," they're going to come and daven here. So here, there's one trouble that comes about. Number two, it's a couple of psukim later. It has a very similar refrain that goes on here in this parak. "Be'atzer shamayim v'lo yeh matar," when the skies are closed and there is no rain. "Ke yechetu lach," again, he attributes all these problems to the chataim, to sinning, to doing something wrong. "V'itpalalu ha'makom hazeh," they'll daven here. "V'odu et shemecha," and they will praise your name. "Umchatatam yishuvun," and they will do tshuva. "Ki ta'anein," when you oppress them. "Ra'av ki yeh baretz," two psukim later, when there is a famine in the land. "Dever ki yeh," whenever there is pestilence. "Shidafon," "Yerakon," "Arbe," "Chasil," all these difficulties that can come about, plagues. "Kiyeh, ki atzar lo oivo," "Beretz she'arav," or within the land, the enemy is causing problems. "Kol nega kol machala," any difficulty, any sickness. Again, what do? You turn to Hashem and you daven to this mikdash. "L'man yiraucha kol amim asher heim chayim al ebnei adamah shenatata lavoteinu," so that they will fear you all the years that we live in the land. When things are bad and we know that we've done something wrong, we turn to Hashem and we ask Him, or we beseech Him for help. He also writes, "Ki yetzei am echol milchama lo yivo," when you go out to battle, "Asher tishlachem," where you send them, "Yitpalu Hashem derech hayir asher bacharta ba, b'bayit asher baniti l'shemecha," you dive into Hashem through the Mikdash. And the last one, "V'shavu eilecha b'chol levavam u'b'chol nafsham be'eretz oyvehem, asher shavu otam," if they're thrown out of their land. "V'itpalu alecha derech hartzam," from the lands of their captivity, they will daven to you. "Asher natat l'avotam ha'ir, asher b'charta v'bayit asher banita l'shmecha." So he sees it as a central or focal point of tefillah, but he goes through here difficulties that people will experience in their lives, difficulties that the nation will face, and in each of the cases, what's the response? To daven, to turn to Hashem and to beseech Hashem. And that's what the Rambam discusses. The Ramban, in his Hasagot, on the Sefer Mitzvot of the Rambam, disagrees. And he says, what the Rambam says is incorrect, because throughout Shas, if you look throughout Shas, every time we bump into davening, we say tefillah derabbanan. We just had that on the second to last daf of Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara discussed the competition between going to hear the tekiot or davening. The Gemara says, hadoraita hadarabbanan, that davening is only a din derabbanan. And he quotes numerous and numerous sources to say that every time we have a suffix davening, it's always a suffix derabbanan. And you always make a decision based on a suffix derabbanan lekula. We don't say it's a suffix doraita, we say it's a suffix derabbanan. And therefore, the Ramban disagrees and says that the meaning of the pasuk, ul'abdo et Hashem b'chol levavchem, means that you have to have kavanah. When you do a mitzvah, you have to have kavanah that you're doing a mitzvah. Similar to what we learned back in Rosh Hashanah, that there are mitzvot tzrichot kavanah, that you need kavanah when you do mitzvot. Not only that, and you should not worry about whether there's toelet, no toelet. Is it worth doing the mitzvah, not worth doing the mitzvot? Ul'abdo Hashem b'chol levavchem. You do it. You do it because Hashem said, and you know that it's good. And that's how he interprets the pasuk. Now, what about Masha Darshu b'sifrei, ul'abdo zeh talmud, davar acher zu tefillah, asmachtehi. That limud that we're going to have today in the Gemara is just an asmachta. It's a din d'rabbanan that they tied on to a pasuk min haTorah. He says, "Oh, shnomar michlal avodash numot Torah v'shintvali lav be'et ha'tzarot." Says, but or maybe it means that we dive into Hashem when things are difficult. Tiyanenu libenu elav livado, and we turn only to Hashem in our difficulties. We look to Hashem for salvation. Kenei avadim el yadu nehem. And that's like what the pasuk says in Balotcha. What we just quoted before. And this is exactly what Shlomo HaMelech said. So Ramban says, maybe the inyan of tefillah is not like the Rambam says, to daven each day, but rather, it's to daven when there's a difficulty. To daven when trouble arises, to know that where you turn is to Hashem. That's the address. That is the department where you go when things are not going well or when difficulties arise. You got to daven to Hashem. You got to turn to Hashem. And therefore, he says in the closing here, if you believe in the end that what Chazal say is min haTorah with tefillah, nimno to b'minyan shel harav v'nemar shi mitzvah le'et hatzarot. It's a mitzvah when you're in trouble. Shenamin shehu yitbarech vitale shomea tefillah, that he listens to our tefillot. And he saves us from these difficulties through tefillah, through praying and zakah and crying out to Hashem. So Ramban says that he doesn't think tefillah is midoraita. And if you want to make it doraita, he's only willing to do that when there are difficulties. V'eit tzara. Again, the theme of our masechta, when things are difficult, that's when you go to daven to Hashem. That's where the Ramban believes it's doraita. Not on a daily basis. Rav Soloveitchik was mechadesh in the Rambam. It's not simple pshat in the Rambam. It's not easy to read into the Rambam. But he claimed that the Rambam maybe thinks like the Ramban, that the only time that you have to daven min da Torah is ve'etzara, when there's a difficult day and when things are not great. But he makes the claim that the Rambam thinks that that's a daily experience. An existential crisis, that every day when we go to Hashem, we go to Him with our bakashot, we go to Him with our what's wrong? What do we need? What's bothering us today? And therefore, every day is an Eitzara, and that's how the Rambam expands it from just the Eitzara that's mentioned in the Torah or by the Tefillah Shlomo HaMelech to every day. Again, it's not the simplest interpretation of the Rambam, but he wants to reconcile between the Ramban and the Rambam by doing that. That's one part of the introduction. The next piece of the introduction has to do with rain. There is a unique connection between Eretz Yisrael and rain, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's not like any other connection. We see rain as being a direct link to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that comes out of the Sukkim and Sefer Dvarim that do that, to directly link those items. We have in Dvarim Yud Aleph, Ki Aretz Asher Atav Hashem Alevishta, Lo Ki Aretz Mitzrayim Hi. The land that you're going into is not like Egypt. Asher Yitzatem Misham, that you left. Asher Tizrat Zaracha, Vishkita Baraglacha, Ki Gana Yerak. Where you get your water from the Nile, from the rivers, where everything is done by taking the water off the water sources that are there. It's got mountains, it's got valleys. It gets its water, it gets its sustenance. It drinks from the heavens. It needs rain. Bottom line, it needs rain. Eretz, and this says connection to Rosh Hashanah. Eretz asher Hashem lokecha doresh ota tamid enei Hashem lokecha ba mereshit hashana va'ad acharit shana. Now we already learned the Rosh Hashanah, but here it is that Hashem is always looking out for Eretz Yisrael. How is He always looking out for Eretz Yisrael? In that connection through the rain, to ensure that there's rain to sustain Eretz Yisrael. What is the next pasuk? What are the next psukim? Vayayim shamoa tishma. Vayayim shamoa is the next psukim right after that. And there it says, Ulo avdo b'chol levavchem. And there it also says, V'natati mitar etzachem b'toi re'o makosh. Hashem connects the rain coming to our behavior in the land. If you behave, I'm going to give you rain. You don't behave, I don't give you rain. Hashem makes rain a pivotal connection between us and Him in the land of Israel. And rain is, till today, a fundamental part of living in Eretz Yisrael. It determines so much about the water that we have here. It's necessary, and we need the rain. Without rain, Eretz Yisrael dries out, and there's drought. And obviously, in their day, there was drought, famine. It was significantly worse than the impact today, but obviously today it still impacts us when they have the water and the shortages we have. So that water is a direct connection to Hashem, and therefore, as a result of that, when there isn't rain, it falls into that category of items. When Hashem does something, that we ritzara, and we must have sinned, we need to turn to Hashem, we need to daven, and we need to fast and call out to Hashem in order to ask Him to change that decree and allow us to have rain in Eretz Yisrael. Rain is so pivotal that amongst the pantheon of gods, of Avodah Zarah gods that are found in Eretz Yisrael, the one that is the most attractive and mentioned by the Torah and the Nevi'im over and over and over again is the Baal. The Baal, which is one of the Canaanite gods, is the god of fertility, but it's really a god of rain. And they turn to the god of rain all the time because rain is so pivotal here. They're always turning to the Baal. That's why they worship the Baal, because they want rain. That's what they're looking for. And Hashem makes it clear here. The only one you need to turn to is Hashem in order to have rain. Now, the Masechta, again, as I said before, is divided up. Most of the Masechta, the majority of Masechta, deals with rain and the fast days that are associated with rain. The tail end of the Masechta, it deals with the fast days that are connected to the Churban HaBayit. In general, the way that those were viewed were that the tefillot that dealt with rain were tefillot and tzakot and taniyot of tshuva, that you have to do tshuva because that's how you improve or rectify the situation. The fast days of the Churban were viewed as fast days of avilut, those that are mourning because of the loss of the Bayit. The Ramban himself brings it in his work on Avelut. He talks about these fasts. Avelut Kadasha is regular Avelut. Avelut Yishana are these fast days. He views it as part and parcel of the world of Avelut, not the world of Taniyot. The Rambam, I heard this many, many years ago in Boston from Bobtursky. It was a Poner Rebbe. He was a Bucky in the Rambam. And he says that the Rambam changed our view of Taniyot and the Taniyot that are associated with the Churban. The Rambam says that the Taniyot of Churban are not only about Avelut, but also about Tshuva. He brought the aspect of Tshuva to those Taniyot as well. And he connects between what is the beginning of our Masechta and the end of our Masechta, that when we fast of the Churban, even though it's Avelut, there's also another side to it, which is that of Tshuva. That when we come to these Taniyot, it's not simply that we're about Avelut, but we have to do something about it. And that means that we have to act with Tshuva. We have to repent. We have to want to make a difference and change the status quo. And therefore, there's a connection between the Taniyot that we find at the beginning of the Masechta and the Taniyot that we find at the end of the Masechta. From the time of the Rambam and onward, it's taken as a given. It's funny how he changed the way that people spoke about it. Today, we just look at it, it was so subtle, but he was a revolutionary in his view of those Taniyot. And until that time, everybody views him simply as a Velut. He enters this Tzad or this Pan Shel Tshuva into those, and anybody who speaks after the Rambam takes it for granted that that's part of the Taniyot of the Korban, is to do Tshuva. And if you look at the description in the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes the Rambam, that these Taniyot, the Ikar is also the Tshuva, not just fasting, not walking around and doing nothing and fasting, but Avelut and Tshuva. Tshuva is an integral part of them. Again, that connects or makes the Masechta thematically consistent in that all these fast days are turning to Hashem and beseeching Hashem. Alright, so that's in the way of introduction to the Masechta. Now we're going to start the Masechta again, dealing with rain and when we ask for rain, when we mention rain. So here it says, "Meimatay maskirim gvurot gishamim." From when do we start to mention rain? Here this reference is Mashiva Ruach, Murid Ageshim or Goshim. Maybe we'll discuss that another time, what's the proper pronunciation. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Miyom Tov Rishon Shochag. From the first day of Sukkot. Shu Omer, Yom Tov Achron. From the last day, Shochag, Yom Tov Achron Shochag, on the last day of Chag, Chag being here, would be Shmini Atzeret. Amar Lo Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua has a very strong claim against Rabbi Eliezer. Ho Ven Agshamim Ela Siman Klala B'chag. If it rains during Sukkot, it is not a good omen. It's inauspicious if it rains during Sukkot, that we learn in the Gemara in Sukkah. It's kilo if the Eved comes to serve the Rav and the Rav throws the water back in his face. Basically says, I'm not interested in your sitting in the Sukkah, I'm not interested in your mitzvah, get out. And that's why when it rains, we have to get out of the Sukkah, we have to leave the Sukkah. So therefore it's inauspicious for it to rain. So why would you start mentioning rain from the beginning of Sukkot if that's exactly what you don't want? Salamu maskir. Why would you mention it then? Merlo, Rabbi Eliezer, afani lo amarti lishol. I didn't say to ask for rain. Ela lahaskir, mashiva ruach, umurid agoshim beonato. Just to mention it in its time, that you should mention, maskir, mashiva ruach, umurid agoshim. So, Merlo, imkein do olam ye maskir. He says, well, if that's true, why don't you just mention it all year round? If the Hazkarah, the mentioning of rain, has nothing to do with when you want the rain, we'll see why he puts it in this location at the beginning of Sukkot, then why don't you do it all year round? You should just mention it all year round because it's not connected to when you ask specifically for rain. And what we're going to see in the Gemara is that Rabbi Eliezer believed that the Onav Geshem is all year round. And Ein Ochanami, Rabbi Eliezer agrees with what Rabbi Yeshua just says, that if you say Mashiva Ruach HaMoed HaGoshem all year round, that is fine. You can say it in the middle of the summer, he thinks it's totally fine. Why do we associate it with Sukkot? That the Gemara will deal with. Ein Shualim Et HaGeshemim. Now we move over to Sheilah. Mazkirin always refers to Mashiva Ruach HaMoed HaGoshem. Shualim Et HaGeshemim refers to Tein Talumotar Livracha. So Ein Shualim Et HaGeshemim Ela Samuch HaGeshemim. That you only do close to the rainy season. We're going to learn in the Masechta that the rainy season is in Cheshvan. Cheshvan is when the rainy season begins. So we're going to do Sheilah. We're going to ask for rain proximate to that period of time. The one who davens on the last day of Sukkot, on Shmini Atzeret, Ha'acharon. Acharon and Rishon, we just saw this at the end of Masechta Rosh Hashanah. Acharon is the Baal Musaf, and the Rishon is the Baal Shacharit. So Acharon, the Baal Musaf, Maskir. He mentions the item. Arishon, Enu Maskir, but the Baal Shacharit does not mention it. Meaning that when we do the switchover, we don't switch over the Rishon, we don't switch over the Shacharit, but we switch over in Musaf. So when we do Tfilat HaGeshem on Shmini Atzeret, it's at Musaf that we do it, not in Shacharit. Now, why we do that, or why we pick Musaf instead of the other Tfilot, we'll discuss. But just the giveaway is that at nighttime, not everybody's in Shul. There, it's not a good time to announce it. Shacharit, if we switch it over, those people who didn't come the night before are going to think we started the night before because they show up at Shacharit and we're already doing it. So they're going to think it already started and they made a mistake the night before. Then next year they'll start at nighttime because they'll think, oh, they started the night before. So we start at Musaf. So we wait, show them that Shacharit we didn't change. And then we do the change of Musaf. And again, Gemara and Rosh Hashanah says everybody's there by the time Musaf comes around. There we got the full crowd. So that's when we make the switch at Musaf time. Now, the opposite is true, and the opposite end of the year, 6 months later, B'Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, and the Yom Tov of Pesach, Arishon Maskir, the first one, Baal Shacharit continues to mention Geshem, V'Acharon, and the Baal Musaf Enu Maskir, that's when we stop saying, that's Tfilat Tal, we say on the first day of Pesach at Musaf. So again, the changeover is at Musaf on the Yom Tov of Sukkot and the Yom Tov of Pesach. The question of when to do it, whether it's done prior to the davening of Tfilat Lachash or it's done after in the Chazarat HaShatz, that has to do with the different minhagim that developed about when to make the switch and the ability to make the announcement. So it depends actually partly on what time of year, whether it's the addition or the subtraction. You can announce an addition. It's hard to announce a subtraction. So therefore it actually has nafkamino, the halacha, about when we start or how we announce it. We'll get to that later on. It's not in the Gemara, but we'll get to it in terms of the switchovers and when people make mistakes and what the ramifications are. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tana Heichi Koi. Same question the Gemara asks in the beginning of Brachot. When you say Mei Matai, that supposes that you know some information, and now you're asking me Mei Matai, when? That means that you already know that there's something to do. It tells you that you need to know that you're Maskirim Gvurat Gshamim and you're Sholim the Gshamim, and now it's asking you Mei Matai. Where do we see that? So Tana Echikai Diktani Mei Matai. Where is he holding that all of a sudden he says Mei Matai as if we have information? Same thing that Gemara asks in the beginning of Brachot, Mei Matai Korim Et Hashma. Tana Atam Kai. He's hanging out over there, which is where? Back in Brachot. Diktani Maskirim Gvurat Gshamim B'tchiyat Amitim. Where do you mention in Shmon Esrei Gvurat Gshamim Hashiva Ruach? You mention it in the Bracha of Tmichaya Amitim. B'Shualim B'Birkat Shanim. Sheila is in the Bracha of Birkat Hashanim Bareich Aleinu. Va'avdalah b'chonein adat. And Avdalah is added in the bracha of chonein adat. Now, v'ktani, mei matai maskirim gvurat kishamim. So now it asks, okay, if we know we have to mention in Shmon Esrei, when do we start mentioning it in Shmon Esrei? So we're talking about brachot back in the first mesechta in Seder Zeraim. Now we're in Moed, towards the tail end of Moed. And he's saying, you know what, I remember that Gemara back in Brachot, that Mishnah back in Brachot. Oh, time to discuss it. The Gemara says, Vilit Nehotom, just write it over there. What's it doing all the way over here? He says, Maishna Deshavke Adocha. Why did he leave it until here? Ella, that cannot be the reason to explain why Tanit is found all the way over here. That is not a good enough reason to say that you would go from Zeraim all the way to the end of Moed. That's way too big a gap. Ella, Tana Mi Rosh Hashanah Salik. We just finished up Masechet Rosh Hashanah. One of the things that we mentioned with regards to Rosh Hashanah is that Rosh Hashanah, where the Mayim is on Sukkot. Ubechag nidonim ala Mayim. Vaidi detana bechag nidonim ala Mayim. Tana meimatai maskirim vrot kshamim. If the chag is associated with rain and the water, through the fact that we're judged for rain on that holiday, plus we have Nisuch HaMayim, Mayim is a central theme of Sukkot. If that's the case, then let's deal with what's going on here. Gevurot Geshamim, let's deal with the rain, let's deal with that. Bidlitnei Meimatai Maskrim Ala Geshamim. What is this Maskrim Gevurot Geshamim? Why is that their additional adjective to describe the Geshamim? Why don't you just say, when do we mention the rain? When do we start talking about rain? My Gevurot Geshamim. Why do we describe them as Gvura? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, the fish you ordim big Gvura. Because they come down in force, they come down with strength. Shenemar, Oseg Gedolot. Now this quote, it's a misquote here, it really should be quoted from Perek Hey in Iyov, and therefore you have to amend it slightly, because they quote two psukim from Perek Hey in Iyov, back to back psukim. So the proper way to read it is, Oseg Gedolot, Ve'ein Cheker, Niflaot, Adin Mispar. Shem does greatness. Ein cheker, there's no looking into it, there's no searching, you can't figure it out. Nifla'ot adem ispar, wonders without enumeration. Uchtiv, and the subsequent pasuk says, Hanotein matar al pnei aretz. He brings rain on the face of the land. Vishaleach maim al pnei chutzot, and sends water to the fields. So you see that there's a connection between the previous pasuk and this pasuk, which is, the gedolot, the nifla'ot that Hashem does, are ein cheker. There's no understanding them. There's no searching for them. And what's the subsequent pasuk? It's talking about the rain that he provides. So then, my mashma. So, okay, very nice. But from here, where did you see the word gvura? I didn't see the word gvura over here. So I'm Rabbi Rashila, Acha cheker cheker mibriyato shel olam. It's really an agadic gezera shava. We have zero shavot that teaches halachot. There are also gezera shavot that are agadic. A gzera shavot, and that's what we have here. It says cheker here in Yov about the rain. It also says cheker by the Briat Olam. Tivacha oseg dolot aden cheker, which is again misquoted. It should be oseg dolot ve'ein cheker. Uchtiv atam, and it says in Yishayahu, this is the Haftorah Nachamu, Nachamu Ami that we read. In that it says, halo yadata, don't you know? Im lo shamata, did you not hear? Elukei olam Hashem, borei ktzot aretz. Shem is the everlasting God, the creator of the edges of the earth. Lo yaf, v'lo yigah. He does not tire. He does not get faint. Ein cheker litvunato. There is no understanding, searching his understanding. Meaning that he is beyond our comprehension. But you see the word ein cheker. And there it talks about borek tzotaretz, the creation of the world. Uchtiv, and it says in Tehilim, mechin arim bikocho. He prepares the mountains with his strength. Nezar bigvura. He's girded with strength. So therefore we see that when Hashem made the mountains, he had gvura. And now we have the transitive property. We have cheker mentioned by rain, cheker mentioned by briyat olam. And by briyat olam, we also have mentioned gvura. So just like gvura is applicable by briyat olam, so too gvura is relevant by gishamim. And therefore it's called gvurot gishamim, because gishamim are a sign of gvurat Hashem. Minalon bidibit filah. How do you know that you should mention this in tefillah? Titanyo, because the braita that we said, Avat Hashem lokechem, uli obdo b'chol levavchem, this is what we quote in the introduction, to worship Him with your hearts. Ezui avodashi b'leiv, what does it mean to worship Hashem in your heart? Havi omer, zo tefillah, that is, davening. Uchti batrei. And what does it say immediately afterwards? This comes from Vayayim Shamoa. You do avodah shvulev, you daven, and what does it say immediately after? Natati mitaratzachem bito yireu makosh. That's associated with the rain. So you see that rain and davening are connected. Cause and effect. Therefore, it's necessary to mention rain inside of davening. Now, we have statements here from Rabbi Yochanan. We had the first statement, Rabbi Yochanan, Yipnesh Yoredim Bigvura. They come down in force, in strength. Or that it's a sign of Hashem's Gvura. And he connected that to Briyat Olam, the creation of the world. That tells you, even though this is an agadic interpretation to get to Gvurot Geshamim, also one has to take note of the fact that we just compared rain to Briyat Olam. Now Briyat Olam is once in history something that only Hashem can do, and now we just compared rain to it. By doing that, it also says that rain is the realm of Hashem. It's the equivalent of creation. which rain does, it brings life and it brings creation, and it's in within Hashem's power. And therefore, it has some equation, or we equate it to Briat HaOlam. And that tells you the significance by which we're viewing rain inside of Eretz Yisrael. Just say, you take note of that. It's not just like a little nice thing to say, Gvurot Gushamim. Gvurah here means creation, Maseh Breshit, and that's how we view rain. And then we have another statement by Rabbi Yochanan that takes it in a similar direction, which is, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Gimel Maftechot B'yadosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are three keys in the hands of Hashem, Shelo Nimsiru B'yad Shaliach, that are not given over to any emissary. Ve'elu Hein, and these are they. Again, the Bach changes the order. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to leave it the way it is just because it's easier to read. But he does change the order of the Maftechot. There's Mafteach Shel Gishamim, the key to rain. Mafteach Shel Chaya, the key to childbirth or conception. Mafteach Shel Tchiyat HaMeitim, and the key to resurrecting the dead. These are three areas, three realms, which belong to Hashem. The Mefarshim here give different explanations as to what it means that they were not given over to a shliach. Part of the problem is, and Rashi and Tosafot are trying to address that, is that Eliyahu HaNavi has the key to Gshamim, stops all rain. That's the first time we bump into Eliyahu. There's no more rain. He basically decrees no rain over Eretz Yisrael. The other thing is that he also is Mechaye Meitim. He brings back the child to life of the Almanah that he stays by. So he has that. Elisha also does the same thing with Tzkiyat HaMeitim. He brings back a child to life. In that case, there are people who have these keys. So what do you mean there's an shliach, that they're not given over to a shliach? So Rashi says, Shelo Nimtzeru Biyachad. Nobody has all three of them at once. That's the way Rashi solves the problem is, maybe you get one key at a time, but nobody has all three keys. That's one. The way that Tosafot answers is what Joel said before, is that nobody gets them permanently. You might temporarily get a hold of the key, but you don't have permanent control over these items, and that's what it means that Hashem has no shluchim. There are others that suggest that certain things Hashem offloads to his shlichim. Shlichim here meaning his emissaries, whether it's sarim or those that perform or act on behalf of Hashem, malachim, and they take care of things. There are certain items that Hashem personally takes care of, and these are these three items that Hashem is personally involved with and personally directed. There's no emissary, there's no intermediary that works on these items. It's Hashem and Hashem alone that deals with them. Right? Exactly. Like Makat Bechorot. Others say that these are certain things that defy logic or defy the natural course. Again, conception and the creation of life, the Tchiyat HaMeitim, people don't come back to life once they're dead, and the weather, which according to the Gra is something that's not predictable. As much as we know how to predict it, we can only predict it once it forms. But we don't know how it's going to form, how it's going to interact. As much science as we have, where we have a good sense, we still don't have the perfect predictability, and we don't know whether it's going to be created or not. They're just guessing as to whether these forces are going to come together. Right. It's probability, it's not certainty, and therefore that's what the Gra says, is Gimel Maftechot, which are in Hashem's hand. Only Hashem knows what's going to happen, because they're unpredictable events, all of these items. Again, that's another way that Rabbi Yochanan connects between all of these items. The fact that he's putting Gishamim in this category already shows you where Gishamim is in terms of its hierarchy, or where it is in terms of its importance. Now, the Gemara goes through each one of them. Mafteach shel Gishamim dichtiv, because it says in the Pasuk, in Dvarim, Yiftach Hashem lechat otzaro atov, et Hashemayim netei metar atzecha biito. Hashem will open up his storehouses and grant you the rain in its time. But that's when you do the right things, then Hashem takes care of you. Mafteach shel chaya, minayin, dichtiv. How do we know that? Because it says by Rachel, vayiskor Elohim et Rachel, vayishmaela, vayiftach et Rachma. So you see that when Hashem remembered Rachel, that's when she conceives. Mafteach shel tchiyat hameitim, minayin, dichtiv. Vyedatim ki ani Hashem. You'll know that I'm Hashem. Bifitchi et kivrotechem. When I open up the graves and I bring people back to life. That's the siman that Hashem is here when he brings the dead back to life. But my Rav Amri, in Eretz Yisrael, and it's still till today, Ach Mafteach Shel Parnasa, also livelihood. Livelihood is also a key that is not given over. Livelihood in Eretz Yisrael is harder than in Chutz Laaretz. And therefore, Mafteach Shel Parnasa should also be something that's only in the hands of Hashem. Dichtiv, because it says, Poteach Et Yadecho, Umazbi'a Lecho Chai Ratzon. Hashem opens up his hands and he provides for everyone. Notein lachem lechol basar. That comes from Hashem. So Rabbi Yochanan, my time alo kochoshiv laha. How come he doesn't mention parnasa? Why did he leave that out of his list? Says Amalacha, gishamim hainu parnasa. It says that Geshamim are Parnasa. The way the Bach amends Rashi to read over here, Bach says, Hainu Parnasa Shizraim Upeirot Gedelim Mehim. Because the vegetation and the fruit grow from the rain. The Parnasat Olam. And that's what provides sustenance to the world. And I already counted Geshamim. And obviously, especially in their time, rain was the determining factor of whether people lived or died. It was the determining factor of whether they had parnasa. Rain was everything. Now today the economy is separate. Only 7% of the economy is agrarian in Eretz Yisrael today. So it's less felt in that way sometimes because we import when there's difficulty with the crops here, although you feel it in the prices. But more importantly is the water ecosystem, which is important, and we do feel it when there's drought. We still feel it today. We still feel when there's a shortage of water, even though maybe it doesn't affect our parnosa, it still has that indirect impact on our living and ability to use the water that's there. Right. The way that the Torah views parnasa and the Gemara views parnasa, the goal is to feed yourself and to sustain yourselves. It's not to accumulate wealth. The accumulation of wealth is a side effect of parnasa. It's not the goal of parnasa. And therefore, parnasa is right, exactly that, about the sustenance and the basics of livelihood are the food. And therefore, the shortage of rain when there's less water, that is an impact on parnasa. Okay, but just in conclusion, you see here, and the Gemara will take it up again, that rain is included in these categories of Briat Olam, Tchiat Meitim, conception, the bringing of life, and parnasa, which we know from the Gemara in Sotah is, that kashim parnasa shel adam ki kriyat yam suf. It's easier to split the Red Sea than to give someone parnasa. And that's how the Gemara views parnasa, which is these are items that are in a unique category of belonging to Hashem, are difficult to alter, and that are really tied into our relationship with Hashem. And therefore, the only solution to that problem is to beseech Hashem, whether it's to fast, to call out, and it goes back to the introduction that we talked about, that why is that the reaction to the lack of rain? That's the reaction to lack of rain because that's the only way to solve the problem is to be in touch with Hashem. All right, now, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Miyom Tov Rishon Shel Chag, Ibayluhu. Rabbi Lezer, Meheichin Gamir. What is the source for the fact that Rabbi Lezer thinks you start mentioning Geshamim on the first day of Sukkot? Does he learn it out? Milulav Gamarla? Did he learn it out of Lulav? It's connected to Lav. Omi Nusuch HaMayim Gamarla. Or did he learn it out of Nisuch HaMayim? So these are two items that are central to Sukkot and associated, we're going to see in a second, with the rain. And therefore, is he connecting to one of those two? And that's what's driving him to say Hazkarat Geshamim takes place at that point in time. He says, Mulav Gamarla, Malulav Bayom, Av Hazkarah Bayom. Just like the mitzvah ulav, lakachim lachem b'yom arishon, only takes place during the day, so too, we're only mazkirim geshamim during the day. We start on the first day of Yom Tov during the day. Odilma mi nisuch hamayim gomer lo. Or maybe he learns out from nisuch hamayim. Ma nisuch hamayim mi'orta. Just like nisuch hamayim is from the night before. The Rashi brings two reasons why that is. First of all, they fill the water the night before for the nisuch hamayim and dance it up to bring it for the morning, for the nisuch hamayim on the korbanot in the morning. Or, damar mar. We also have another reason, which is, umin chatam v'niskehem. It says, umin chatam v'niskehem, afilu balayla, that you can even bring your nisachim at night. Because the nisachim are detached from the korban that you bring. So even though the korban must be brought in there in the day, the nisachim can be brought later time, or even at night. So, abas karami urta. Therefore, you would also start mentioning it from nighttime. So they're clear that the source is from the fact that it's ilu lav nisachamayim connected to the water on Sukkot. The only question is, when do you start? If it's connected to Lulav, you would start mentioning it during the day. If it's connected to Nisuch HaMayim, you would start from the night before. So now Gemara says, Tashma, Amar Rabbi Abel, Lo Lamda, Rabbi Eliezer, Elam Lulav. He learned it out of Lulav. He just says he learned it out of Lulav. Ikadamri, Rabbi Abel, Gemara Gemiri La. That some say that is that he had a Mesorah. That's what Rabbi Eliezer's opinion was. Because he just makes a statement, he doesn't tell you why. So now some say that was his Mesorah. Ve'ikid amri matnita shmiele. And some say that he heard this braita. Mahi, what's the braita that he heard? Titanio, we have a very large braita. It's going to take us almost the end of the amud here. Me'imatay maskirim ala geshamim. When do we start mentioning? Mashiva ruach umir de geshem. Rebelez umir misha'at nitilat lulav. The time that you start taking the lulav. There it is. Explicitly, Rabbi Lezer says it's connected to lulav. Yeshua mer mishat anachto. When you put it down. Now this is going to come up in tomorrow's daf. Rabbi Shira says, when you put down the lulav, both Rashi and Tosafot say, when do you put the lulav down? That's on the seventh day, not on the eighth day. But they say, once you put down the lulav, then it's time to start saying the Mashiva Ruach, which means on the eighth day, you start to say Mashiva Ruach. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Ho'il v'arbat minim halalo enam baim el ratzot alamayim. These four minim come to supplicate before Hashem for water. That's why we say the Oshanot. The Oshanot are asking Hashem for rain in the upcoming year. Ukashem sh'arba minim alo e'ef sher v'hem below mayim. In addition to that, these four minim grow on water. Kach e'ef sher l'olam below mayim. So too, the world will not survive or be sustained without water. Something that I mentioned in the past when we learned in the Gemara in Sukkah, there is an individual who wrote an article, I think his name is Schaefer, who says basically that the arba minim relate to the four different types of water and water sources in Eretz Yisrael, rain, mayanot, rivers. Each one of them grows from one of those types of water sources. And therefore we bring the Arba Minim on Sukkot because they represent the four different water systems that are here in Eretz Yisrael that bring sustenance to Eretz Yisrael. And that's borne out by the Gemara here, that they all grow on water and they're connected to water. Therefore we do two things. We thank Hashem for the previous year. I've said before, we say Hallel with the Lulav and the Arbat Aminim, thank Hashem for the water and for all the sustenance provided in the previous year. But we also supplicate before Hashem for the water in the upcoming year of Oshanot. They have that duality built into them, both the Hallel and Hoda'a of the previous year, as well as Oshana and the supplication for the upcoming year. And that's the key element of the Arbat Aminim and their connection to water. So that's why Rabbi Lezer says the Arbat Aminim are connected to water, and therefore the Haskara goes along with the Lulav. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua lo gshamim b'chag inu melo siman klala. They are a bad omen, inauspicious if you have rain during Sukkot. Like he says in our Mishnah, I'm not saying to ask for rain, I'm just saying to mention it. Just like you mentioned Tchiyat HaMeitim every day of the year, and they only come when it's time to come. I mean, it'll only be Tchiyat HaMeitim at any moment when it's going to come, but you still ask all year round. So too, by Ms. Haskarat Kishamim, you can mention it all year round, even though they only come in their time. The Fikach, in Bala Azkir Kol HaShanah Kula, this is what I mentioned to you in the Mishnah. If you want to mention it all year round, Maskir, no problem. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you can say Mashiva Ruach all year round. He says, look, I think it should be associated with Sukkot, and there's a reason to connect it to Sukkot and Pesach, but if you mention it in the summer, there's nothing wrong with that. So, Rabbi Omer Ani, Mishash Shemafsik L'Sheila Kach Mafsik L'Azkara. When you stop asking for rain, you stop mentioning rain, meaning at Pesach time. When you stop asking for rain, that's when you stop mentioning it. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteir Omer, Bisheni b'chag hu maskir. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteir says, you start mentioning rain on the second day of Sukkot, not the first day. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Bishishi b'chag hu maskir. On the sixth day of Sukkot, you start mentioning rain. Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Over lifnei ateva b'yom tov acharon. So now the Gemara will ask later on, we already had Rabbi Yeshua, who says that you do it on the Shvi, Hanachat, when you put down the lulav. And over here, all of a sudden, Rabbi Yeshua is talking about Shmini Atzeret. And the Gemara is going to ask the stira between these two statements of Rabbi Yeshua and the Braita. And we'll deal with that in tomorrow's daf. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Over lifnei ateva b'yom tov acharon on Shmini Atzeret shel chag. Acharon, the man who's davening Musaf Maskir, mentions Meshiva Ruach. Arishon, the one who davening Shacharit, ain't no Maskir. B'yom tov rishon shel Pesach, on the first day of Pesach, Arishon Maskir, the Baal Shacharit mentions Meshiva Ruach. Acharon, the Baal Musaf, ain't no Maskir, stops mentioning Meshiva Ruach and starts with Morid Atal. So Gemara says, Shapir Kamalei Rabbi Lezer the Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Lezer has a good answer to Rabbi Yeshua, that what's the wrong with mentioning rain all year round? You're not asking for it, you could just mention it. So Amalecha Rabbi Yeshua, Bishlama Tchiyat HaMeitim Maskir Tekule Yom Hazmane. You can mention Tchiyat HaMeitim all year round, because any day is a good day for Tchiyat HaMeitim. There's nothing wrong with any day to have Tchiyat HaMeitim. Every day is available and an opportune time to have Tchiyat HaMeitim. Therefore you mention all year round. Every day is the day for rain? No. There's a rainy season and there's a dry season. So that every day is not ra'ui for rain to come. There's certain times of the year where rain comes and that's the proper time to mention it. So that's what he says, that's not right. Your comparison to Tchiyat HaMeitim is incorrect. Vatznan, and we have a Mishnah. Yatzan Nisan, Virduk Shamim, Simlan Kalalahem. You think that every day is a good day to have rain? That's just not true. We have a Mishnah later on that says that after Nisan is complete, and it starts to rain, Siman Kol Alayim, again, it's inauspicious, it's a bad omen. Shene Amar, because it says in Shmuel Aleph, when he wants to scare the people about appointing the king, he says, "Alok tzir chitim ayom, isn't today the wheat harvest?" Right? And we know the wheat harvest is in around Shavuot time. That's what we read in Megillat Rut. We read it at Shavuot time because it mentions over there that they were harvesting the fields. It was the tzir, sorim, tzir chitim. So therefore, we see that there are times of the year where rain is not supposed to come. If that's the case, it's inappropriate to mention rain all year round because not every day is ra'oi for rain. Rabbi Yehuda ben Metero Omer b'sheni b'chagu maskir. So we saw in our Braita that Rabbi Yehuda ben Metero says that you start asking for rain on the second day of Sukkot. My time with Rabbi Yehuda ben Metero. What's the reason behind Rabbi Yehuda ben Metero? The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Metero Omer nemar b'sheni b'niskehem. It says on the second day on the korbanot of the Musaf in Parshat Pinchas, every day it says v'niska. On the second day of Sukkot, it says v'niskehem, in plural. V'nemra b'shishi unsachea. And it says on the sixth day, unsachea. Again, we could have written niska. So you have extra letters in here. V'nemra b'shvi, instead of saying k'mishpat, it says k'mishpa tam. So you have extra letters here, which is mem, yud, and mem. Are mem, yud, mem, are kan, mayim. Mikan remez l'nisuch hamayim min haTorah. From here you learn, or there's a hint to nisuch hamayim from the Torah. Umay shnat b'sheni tenakat. Why is it start on the second day? Dechi remize lo b'kra b'sheni hu deremize. So therefore, why does he pick the second day? Because when the Torah hints to you about the nisuch hamayim, it does it starting on the second day. Hilkach b'sheni madkarina. Therefore, we start mentioning it on the second day. That means that when we asked before, in Rabbi Lazar's opinion, do we start on the first day of Sukkot because it's Lulav or Nisuch HaMayim, it's clear there that he believes that Nisuch HaMayim starts on the first day, not on the second day, which is the Machloket, as to when Nisuch HaMayim starts. And then in the end, the Gemara says, no, he holds from Lulav, which might mean that then he does think that Nisuch HaMayim starts on the second day, and that's not the source for it. Now, Rabbi Akiva, Omer B'Shishi, B'Chag HuMazkir. Rabbi Akiva says you do on the sixth day. Sh'ne'amar B'Shishi, Unschachea. B'shnei nisuchim akaduv medaber. Over there, it's talking about two nisuchim. Echad nisuch hamayim v'echad nisuch hayayim. That's the hint at the fact that there's also nisuch hamayim. So that's on the sixth day. Ve'ima tarbayu dechamra. Say that both of them are wine. It's in plural, so you have to bring two wine libations, not wine and water. Savar lo k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Metero. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda ben Metero we just mentioned here. Damar rimizi mayo. That the second day and the sixth day have hints of nisuch hamayim in them because it has mem yud mem that are embedded in the extra letters.
He still uses that.
Oh, so Rabbi Yehuda ben Metero, if he holds like Rabbi Yehuda ben Metero, then say like him and start on the second day. When it talks about the extra nisuch, that is on the sixth day. Now, Rashi asks right away, what are you talking about? It says nisachim in plural twice. Niskehem, which is on the second day, Unsachea, which is on the sixth day. So there are two times, both times it mentions it in plural. How does he know that the second plural is the one to focus on and not the first plural? And that is because of the difference in the plurality here, which is niskehem means nisachim shelahem. Whereas nisachea is nisachim shelah. So therefore, when you talk about niskehem, the meaning could be the nisuchim of all of the korbanot. Right. So it could be multiple korbanot, multiple nisuchim, which makes sense. That's how you can pluralize both of them. On the other hand, when you say unsachea, which is nisachim shelah, that tells you one korban is getting two nisuchim. So that's how it's obvious to him that we're talking about two nisuchim, one of wine, one of mayim. How do I know it's not both wine? That's from Yehuda ben Metero that I have the hint of mayim in the pasuk. Okay, we'll stop over here and we'll continue to dissect the Braita in tomorrow's daf.